Hey everyone, my name is Lorena, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. And the easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97000. There you can ask questions, submit a prayer request, and even support the River Church financially. And at the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing to you in any way that we can. You can also visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
So glad that you are here. I look out and I feel like there's something missing in all of your lives. It's an hour of sleep, isn't it? That's why I see it in every one of your faces. There's something missing. But glad you are here this morning. So excited to dive into the Word. Before we do that, we do have a little announcement. This January and February, at the River Church, we have 9 locations. And so beginning this year, we're going to do this at all of our locations. We're going to have one here also later on in the year. But we've had something called town halls at each of our locations. So the elders of the church, I'm one of the elders. We are going to each of the location, specifically meeting with all the people in that location, talking about celebrating what the Lord is doing, talking about the future, and then also just it's kind of like a good old-fashioned Baptist business meeting. That's what it looks like. So we're doing that. And so we were at Walled Lake, and we're at our location in Walled Lake, and what we do is we allow anybody to ask any question that you want to ask. It's okay, Mitchell. You're good. All right. The announcement's about them. So he's got his baby. He's like, my baby's crying. All right. But someone there at our Walled Lake location raised their hand and said, I was a part of a church, and we were always about sending people out. That we weren't just about our local church, we were about sending people out. And she asked, is that, like, do we do that at the River Church? Now, I was sitting there, and I think I started grinning. I started smiling. Because I got to look at her, I said, ma'am, we get to send people out, and it's so wonderful. And I said, ma'am, you know your location pastor here, Pat Bicknell? He was sent out from our Waterford location. He was raised up and trained up, and we could have selfishly gone, we want to keep you because you're incredible, you're a man of the Lord, you can preach. But it wasn't about just me. It wasn't just about our location. We're about sending people out. And I said, and then I looked and I said, and your children's director, they were trained up at our location in Waterford, and we got to send them out. See, as the church, it's a beautiful thing to grow in the Lord, to be discipled. But we also know this isn't just about having our little holy huddle here. We just don't go, hey, what can we do? It's all about us. No, we look and go, Lord, what are you doing? And so this brings me to an announcement. Mitchell, you can come on up here. Sophie, you can bring the baby up here. It's all good. So Mitchell is our children's pastor, him and his wife and the beautiful baby. They've been here for 6 years, Mitchell? 6 years serving in kids ministry. And so we have been talking with Mitchell and praying with Mitchell. And Mitchell, and in May, so not like tomorrow, we have some time, Mitchell is going to be transitioning to our Lake Orion location. He is going to be the family pastor there. He's going to be overseeing 0 to 18, also being a part of being an associate pastor there and pastoring people. And as an elder of the River Church, it excites me because I see your giftings and I see just what the Lord is calling you to. And it just excites me for the three of you. As a location pastor, it makes me sad but happy, right? I love you. I love you and love what the Lord is doing. And we're excited for you. And we're excited that, again, we're part of the church sending people out. It's exciting. Because I know how the Lord's going to use you. And you may ask, so what do we have? Our children's ministry here, we got a plan. We're working on that and working through some things and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do there. But Mitchell's going to be transitioning to Lake Orion, our river location in Lake Orion, the middle of May. We're excited for him. I'm excited because I like when they don't like move far, far away. But I just ask you as a church, would you pray for them? This isn't easy for them. They love you. They love this place. They love the kids. So this isn't like, hey, there is, it's also difficult. And so I know the love that they have here. So just want to pray over them, thankful for our church. Okay, so let's pray. Lord God, I sure do thank you for this family. I thank you for the calling upon Mitchell and his wife. Lord God, may you continue to use them in an amazing way. Lord, may they stay obedient to you, serving you, pleasing to you, fruitful in every good work, Lord. So I thank you for them, protect them, guide them. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys. All right, Jonah, chapter number one. Last week, Pastor Roy kicked us off in the series, and as we start in the book of Jonah, right, tells us that Jonah runs away from the Lord, something that can be very personal, running away from the Lord. As I heard Roy preach on that, and as we midweek studied that, just hearing, do you run away from the Lord? It carries some weight. So let's look in Jonah chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 4. Jonah runs away from the Lord, runs away from the will of the Lord, runs away from the word of the Lord. In verse 4 it says, but the Lord, he wasn't done. God wasn't done. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each one cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship onto the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what is your problem? No, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said one to another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, they rolled dice, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now I want to tell you, when I heard that we are studying the book of Jonah, I thought it would be a great transition. I thought to move from preaching on family and husband and wife submitting to one another and how to discipline and parenting. I thought, man, I am so excited to move to the narrative of Jonah. Like, just a little like, oh, okay, I'm just really looking forward to this. Just the, you know, because I instantly think of the kids' Bible story. Roy referenced this last week, but the kids' Bible story of Jonah and the fish, and I thought, oh man, this would be good. And then I started to study it. So everybody can, underneath your seat, there's a seat belt. You can grab that, and you want to strap that around. There's not really, okay? Because studying this, you find the truth of the Lord. And it's heavy. You have a man who is running away from the Lord. And as I studied this passage, usually what I'll do in studying, preparing it for a sermon, I'll go to the passage and I'll read it and I'll read it again and I'll really study that passage because I want to understand what it says. Before I go to commentaries or books or anything like that, seek the Lord and go, Lord, what do you have? And as I studied this, verse 8 just really stuck out to me. There was this slew of questions. It was very interesting. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of the wind, in the middle of all that was happening as the ship, you know, we read this and it's like you can hear the ship creaking. The Bible says it's about ready to be snapped in half. You can hear it. And all of a sudden they turn to Jonah and they go, who are you? See, verse 8 asks all of these questions. Look at verse 8. It says, what is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? They ask this heavy question, who are you? And maybe you can ask that to yourself this morning. Who am I? Now, if this would have been today and this would have happened, what would have happened? They'd have gone to their phone, they'd have pulled up the Facebook profile, and they'd look, and all those answers are right there on your Facebook page. Who you are, what you do, where you live. Right, in our culture today, think about it. Have you ever gone to whatever your social media page is? And I know some of you are really spiritual and like, I don't do that, Pastor. I'm spirit. I get it. But the rest of 99% of you, you go to that profile. You ever look at it and just look at it with different eyes and look, I wonder what somebody would think of me if they were just to stroll across my page. Who would they think I am? What would they think I believe? What would they think my life is all about? They'd see where you work, see what you do. He loves cats. He's obsessed with cats. You know, or whatever your Facebook page is. Who are you? And here in the middle of this moment, the sailors look to Jonah and they say, who are you? It's a heavy question. I bet you your Facebook page will probably tell you more about who you are than you think. Says what's most important, what you're thinking about, what you want to look like, what you don't want to look like, what you celebrate, what you don't celebrate. Ran into a friend yesterday. He told me his son in college has found a girlfriend. And so for me, I'm like, I don't know whether to go, hey, that's great, or I'm sorry, I don't know. And he's like, yeah. And he just right out said, he said, yeah, I Facebook stalked her parents. I'm like, of course, that's what we'll do. We got to find out who this girl is. Let's Facebook stalk the parents. We got to see who they are, what they believe, where they are from. So here in this passage, as I first read this and thought through this, my first thought was storms in life are really good at revealing who we are. As I read this, and Jonah in the middle of the storm, that many times storms in our lives when things are difficult and hard, many times they reveal who we are. They reveal what we believe. They reveal what we trust. When Jesus was here on the earth and with the disciples in Mark chapter 4, they were also in a boat. There was also a storm going on. The Bible says a great windstorm arose. And these are fishermen, right? These guys know what a storm is, but the storm scared them. Jesus was asleep, and they woke him, and they said, teacher, do you not care that we're going to die? And Jesus responded. He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In that reading that, I just think of like everything was crazy and loud, and all of a sudden, things got really quiet. And Jesus said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? What happened? Many times the storm reveals what you really believe. So in studying the rest of chapter number 1, I hope what happens this morning is the Lord will use this, one, to help you understand who Jonah is. Two, that you'll see the sailors and who they are. And hopefully, it'll reflect back to you to see who you are, to maybe reveal some things that you believe. So let's pray, and we'll dive in the scripture. Lord, I just pray for your help this morning. Thank you for your word. May you use me, Lord, as a tool to preach the word. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see Jonah runs away from the Lord. The Lord hurls a great wind. The ship threatens to break up. The mariners, the sailors who have dealt with storms, they are afraid. They're so afraid, they begin to throw all of their profit, right? All of the things, everything in the boat, they're trying to throw everything out. Nothing else matters. Whatever they're sailing for, whatever money they're making, whatever it is, nothing matters because the intensity of the storm is threatening their lives. And Jonah is sleeping. I find that verse 6 so interesting that the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper?" Something is wrong with Jonah. Something that they are like, the storm and the ship, and you're down here and you don't even care. And the captain says, "Will you start to pray? We're going to die. You don't even care. Start to pray." You know what the verse says? The next verse says, "So Jonah started to pray." No, it doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say he began to pray. As I read this, I think it looks and goes, he didn't have a thought of praying. So the sailors, what do? They realize their own strength, they're not going to save the ship. And so they believe that somebody has done something wrong. God is mad at us. Thinking of a storm, I last week went down. We have friends in the church that live on Sanibel Island in Florida, and went and stayed with them. And 3.5 years ago, a hurricane hit that island. I was reading about it. Some 130 people died. The narrative said it cost $112 billion storm. You go to the island and still there are houses that are abandoned. They're just sitting there. Many people have started to rebuild. And I talked to our friends and they talked about how in their attic, 14 feet high, there's water stains because the water that was at their house was 14 feet high. A massive storm. We were driving off the island and it was raining and it reeked. And he said, there is this slurry that still sits, that if it's not cleaned up when it rains, this muck begins to reek of what the storm brought in. It just sits there. It reminds us of what happened 3.5 years ago. For me, as thinking naively, like I'm big and strong, when you run into a storm and you're humbled by a storm, it changes you. I think about in my life when my wife and I were in the storm and trees getting thrown down over the road, it just slows you down. Like it was a point in life we go, hey, I'm not big enough to defeat that. This is where the sailors came. I just tell you that to see the intensity of the storm. These sailors came to a place where they couldn't fix it. And so the Bible says that they cast lots. Verse 7, they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." Now, when you read the Bible, you'll find that people cast lots. It's like a drawing of straws. It's like a rolling of dice. Now, I will tell you, this isn't telling us, hey, church, this is telling us we should cast lots trying to figure out when somebody sinned or do it. That's not what it's telling us. Now, did followers of God use this in the Bible? Yes, there are times that it happened. I think this week in Growth Community, studying this is really fascinating. But just I want you to land here. The Bible, God used this in his plan and his purpose. The Bible used the casting of lots because he was drawing Jonah to himself. And so lots are cast, it lands on Jonah, and this is when we get the questions of what is your purpose, what is your place, and what is your race? That's how Keller puts it together. I think it's really helpful. Who are you? Why are you here? What are you doing? Why would God do this? And so Jonah gives the answers. Verse 9. And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. It says, then the men were exceedingly afraid. It's interesting. As you read through chapter 1, the storm gets worse. The storm keeps growing. They're terrified at first. And as the storm grows, as they hear who is in charge of the storm, they now move to being exceedingly afraid. But I want to take you to Jonah's answer because they're interesting. Jonah answers, I am a Hebrew. Now, this is interesting. Tim Keller contends, and I agree with him. He contends that Jonah's first answer is very telling about who he is. See, the questions, what he did, when the questions were laid out, he flipped them. He answered the last one first. And Keller contends what he places as first, I am a Hebrew, tells a lot about what is first in his life. And I think this explains a lot of why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. If you grew up a churchy in church and you've heard the story of Jonah and you go, man, the Lord told them to go to Nineveh and he didn't. We take it so lightly. We don't understand how much contention there was. I would even go how much hate there was for the Ninevites. As Roy explained last week, they were a wicked people. And so in this, in Jonah saying, I'm a Hebrew, I think it exposes a lot of why he wouldn't go. Why the word of the Lord came and he said, no, I'm good. I'm a Hebrew first. In Jonah chapter 4, and just this is a spoiler alert, okay? So if you don't want to know what happens, that he gets thrown and then the fish and then he goes to Nineveh. If you don't want the spoiler, you plug your ears, okay? Jonah chapter 4, he goes to Nineveh. He calls for them to repent, and they do. And Jonah's furious. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Lord, I knew you would save them. And we can look and go, man, that's some hatred. Let's make it a little bit more personal. I read a story on October 16th, 1946, a pastor, Henry, I don't know how to say his last name. We're going to call him Pastor Henry. He was in his parish in Germany. And on October 16th, 1946, Henry visited his congregation. He walked with them that day because much of his congregation was taking a walk to the gallows. One by one, the people in his congregation were being executed. Why? But because they had done, one said it, the vilest crimes imaginable. These were Nazi war criminals who were being walked to the gallows because of the things we don't even want to describe that they did. And this pastor walked with them. And one of them, before he was executed, they asked any last words. And the man cried out. He says, I put my confidence in the Lamb who made atonement for my sin. May God have mercy on my soul. And when that pastor came back to the States, over and over again, he received letters of people rebuking him. How dare you take the love of Christ to somebody who did something like that? How dare you? See, we look at a Bible story and go, man, I don't have any of that hate or rage in my heart. I don't have any of that. But an important question to ask in asking who you are in the Lord is to ask, what is your allegiance to? Is it first to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it first to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might? Is it to love your neighbor, people you don't know, people who do things that are sinful and shameful? Are we a people who first, when we hear the word of the Lord and the calling of the Lord, seek to honor the Lord first? Or do we allow those other allegiances to come in and take control and to lead? One said, when loyalty to his people and loyalty to the word of God seemed to be in conflict, he chose to support his nation, overtaking God's love and message to a new society. I told you, grab a seatbelt. Do we know the love of the Lord? If you are a believer and you know Christ's love, may we be convicted to love people well. Who is Jonah? He said, I am a Hebrew. And then he said this, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now, I struggle with the statement that Jonah makes. Why? Because his actions don't back his words. He says, I fear the Lord. What are you doing on the ship then? His words are coming out of his mouth. I fear the Lord. His actions don't follow the Lord. One said there is a profound, even tragic incongruity between what the prophet says with his mouth and what the prophet does with his life. So studying, one argued that as we read the book of Jonah, that the Jonah was really pointing out to the Israelites that they were ones who had God's word and God's truth. They had God's promises and God's covenant. But they would say, we follow God. But God, right, they did not give their hearts to the Lord. Isaiah 29:13, it says, the Lord said, this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. Listen, can I tell you, maybe the most dangerous place to be, is someone who says they follow God with their lips, but who does not follow God with their actions. I don't know if there's a more terrifying place. At least if you don't follow the Lord, you're in a place to go, I reject God. I'm not in a fog. What is scary is someone who says, I follow God. I'm good. I like the cross. Jesus died. I made a profession. I said, Lord, I know you. I asked God to forgive me of my sins. I got baptized. I take communion. I say all the right things. I know the promises. Yet, the actions of my life say, I do not fear the Lord. I don't know if there's a scarier place to be. I love what one book said. It says, Christians wonder why there is no fear of God in the society around him. The reason is that there is so little fear of God in the church. To look to God as holy and righteous and glorious and powerful and wonderful and holy, and to stand in awe before God, that it humbles us. It humbles us so much. It brings us to our knees in repentance to say, Lord, you are God. I am not. I will follow you. So who is Jonah? I think the storm reveals a lot about who he is. Then verse 11. The Bible says, then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. 13, I think, is so interesting. Nevertheless, the men rowed harder. They rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more. It was getting worse. Jonah said, throw me off the ship. Now, do you think Jonah looked down there and go, hey, fishy fish, you ready for me? No, I don't think that's what he was doing. Here's what I honestly think. He would rather have been thrown off the ship and end his life than to be obedient to the Lord. He would have rather been thrown off the ship than to repent of his sin and say, we need to turn around right now because I fear the Lord and I need to follow the Lord. I need to go preach the word of the Lord to people who are lost. He said, I'd rather be thrown off into the water. One writer said, Jonah does not seem to be capable of simple repentance. Perhaps he believes that too much water has passed under his ship by this time. Perhaps he is not sure that his repentance would bring forgiveness. He prefers to believe in a God who only judges and does not forgive. He would rather die in the sea than suggest to the sailors that they should turn around and return him to Joppa to complete the Lord's call on his life. In the storm, I believe it shows still, Jonah will not repent. Will not bow to the Almighty God. Maybe this is where you're at this morning. If you got real honest about who you are, you'd come to a place to say, if I'm honest, to repent before the Lord and to bow and humble myself before the Lord, to receive him as Lord and Savior, for him to forgive me of my sins. I'm not there. And maybe Jonah, the book of Jonah, will reveal where your heart is really at. But I would like to show you really quickly. Look at the sailors. See, the sailors were one. They started going, okay, there's this storm. I think we can take care of it ourselves. And they began to throw stuff off the ship. They began to row harder. They began to say, what can we do? They looked for all kinds of ways that they could save themselves. But they couldn't. They came to a place to say, hey, let's cast lots. This wrath of God is being poured out on us, and it's not my fault because I definitely don't deserve the wrath of God. They said, we're gonna cast lots. Let's see who it's going to find. I know it's not me because I look at my life and go, man, I've done some bad things. But the wrath of God, nah, I don't deserve the wrath of God. It's where mankind stands who won't be saved. They stand in a place to go, hey, I'm in a place that I really don't deserve the righteous, just wrath of God. And the Bible tells us exactly opposite, that we all fall short of the glory of God, that we all are. Our righteousness are as filthy rags, that because God is just, the wrath of God will be poured out on us because God is good and right and just, unless we will humble ourselves, realizing that we need a Savior, unless we'll come to a place. And what's so awesome is God squashed any idea they had in their mind that they would be capable of saving themselves. They came to a place that says, we can't save ourselves. We are hopeless. And they came to a place where they cried out to God, where they said, please, Lord. Verse 14, therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. There's great debate. People are like, well, did they really follow the Lord? Was this like, we know, like, one talked about like foxhole conversions where people are like, Lord, if you just get me out of this, then I'll serve you. And we know those usually don't last. But again, one pointed out, said this was after it was the sea had ceased, it had all stopped, and they began to give praise and sacrifice to the Lord. Listen, we know that. Real conversion doesn't end on the day we confess. We know it only begins. But here, the sailors. So in this chapter, I hope you will see here is a God that loved them and came after them. Here is a God that was calling them to repentance. One pastor said, God continues to pursue hard-hearted, stubborn hypocrites with the very same gospel that can change even the most self-righteous heart. God knows, left to ourselves, we will run away from God and we'll run to death. And God is mercy. Whatever it takes draws us to him. This morning, may we take an honest look at ourselves. Is your heart more like Jonah this morning? Are the things you're placing in front of the Lord, is there a deception of words in your mouth that don't look like how you live? Is there a lack of true repentance in your heart? Or have you come to a place that you know it's not by your works, that you can't save yourself? You can't come to church enough, read your Bible enough, be nice enough. It is only by the salvation of the Lord. It is only when we'll turn to Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Jesus who took the wrath of God because of my sin, that I may have life in him. May we challenge ourselves this morning, this week, and see who we are in the Lord, and may we draw near to him. The amazing, loving, forgiving God. Let's stand together. We'll pray. Lord God, thank you for this morning. Lord God, I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit as you speak to hearts this morning. May we listen. May we repent. May we take joy in the salvation of the Lord. Praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.